That's on its way now. And then I have to start the sermon up. It's difficult when you're a one-man band, playing the drum and the cymbals at the same time. Righty-ho. Well, Jesus had done it again. The unexpected, of course. His enemies didn't expect it. Satan didn't see it coming. And his key male disciples didn't initially believe it. But Jesus had risen from the dead. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Good. During the resurrection day, Jesus unexpectedly walked the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend, and then stayed for tea. When the disciples were safely locked up in the upper room in Jerusalem, hiding in fear from the Jewish authorities, on resurrection night, Jesus unexpectedly appeared in the middle of them, walking through a locked door as if it wasn't there. A week later, Jesus did it again in the same room, this time unexpectedly blowing the doubts of Thomas away. Put your hands in my crucifixion wounds and believe. And now, in this morning's gospel, we find Jesus appearing about 8 days or so later for breakfast by the Sea of Galilee. This time, he was expected to appear somewhere in Galilee. So the disciples had gone to Galilee. He told them to go there, to meet him there when he rose from the dead. But his when to meet, and his where to meet, and his how to meet were unknown to the disciples. Because Galilee is a big place with a big lake and a lot of shoreline. And so his appearance on the shore with a fire, cooking breakfast, was as unexpected as ever and took everyone by surprise. The Gospels and the Apostle Paul record for us the many resurrection appearances of Jesus, but only rarely are we told how long Jesus stayed when he appeared, or how he left and when he left. The one occasion this is recorded for us is when Jesus joined Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. We are told he walked with them most of the day, and during tea he disappeared while they were looking right at him, just after he'd blessed the bread and moved that spiritual veil, let it drop away, and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They saw him go. That's the only occasion we have recorded of people seeing him go once he'd appeared. Fascinating, isn't it? This was the first of many resurrection problems for the disciples. They had no idea when Jesus would appear and how long he would stay, or how he would go. The road to Emmaus account is the only time we have recorded how and when Jesus left his disciples. Sometimes in our gospel this morning, it seems like Jesus was with his disciples all day, from breakfast onwards, at the seashore. Sometimes in the upper room appearances, Jesus seemed to stay all night. When Jesus appeared to his disciples as on the road to Emmaus, he seemed to spend a lot of time teaching them about himself from the Old Testament and all it had to say about him, preparing them to build the church. The disciples had a problem with the time following the resurrection that we often struggle to grasp. This is because we know from the Gospel records and the Book of Acts the sequence of events that followed the resurrection. But like us, When the disciples woke up each morning, they had no idea what each day held. They could not see the future any better than we can. And Jesus had not left them a timetable of future significant events and dates and times. So they had no idea how Jesus would meet them at Galilee or what life now held for them. They'd spent 3 years following every word and action of Jesus day after day, following Jesus' every footstep. That was their life. Now, what were they to do? How were they to follow? Now they had to wait for Jesus to come and appear to them. The disciples had no idea what direction their lives would now take. They had no idea that Jesus would ascend to heaven, or that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was fast approaching. They had no idea that they would start the church, or even what a church is or was. The disciples had no idea that all this was to be the journey of their lives, and the start, and only the start of it. The disciples had sort of now just begun to start the journey of faith, the journey of being Jesus to others, for others, the journey where they had to become the voice, the hands and the feet of Jesus. They were about to learn what being fishers of men really meant. Fishers of people. But as yet, they did not realize what Jesus had in store for them. Following Jesus now had a whole different look to it. So I guess with all this in mind, we can possibly understand Peter saying, "I'm going fishing, who's coming?" Perhaps he was thinking he might have to go back to being a fisherman. What else was he going to do? And he wanted to see if he still had it in him, perhaps. After all, what else was he going to do with himself? He couldn't see into the future. How little did he know what the future held? Every resurrection appearance of Jesus had a purpose. And the appearance of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee was no exception. The instruction of Jesus to throw the net out again, even though the fishing expedition had been a dire one with no fish caught, mirrored the same set of circumstances that occurred when Jesus first called the disciples. Both times the disciples had caught nothing. Both times Jesus instructed them to try one last cast of the nets. And both times they caught more fish than they could handle. The first time the nets broke under the weight of all the fish. But this time the nets stayed secure. And the fish were brought in. Both times it took all the fishermen present to bring in the catch. Perhaps this resurrection catch was a kind of working parable for the disciples of how things were to change in their lives. When Jesus called the disciples, he told them how they would become fishers of people. Now they were to be those who cast the unbreakable net of the kingdom of heaven. And the catch was going to be huge. And it was going to require all of them to bring it in. The resurrection appearance of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee brought great excitement and joy to the disciples. John exclaiming, "It is the Lord!" And Peter jumping into the sea, probably up to his neck, and wading ashore. Because in the first century, nobody swam. What a bedraggled mess he must have looked as he staggered out of the sea and stood before Jesus, Yet for all the excitement of the disciples, Jesus had something very normal and simple in mind. It was time for a breakfast of bread and cooked fish. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus said. There was no talk about the wounds of the cross or of Jesus attempting to prove that it was even himself. That had all happened twice back in the upper room in Jerusalem. Now it was time to move on. "Relax, it's time to eat and enjoy breakfast around the fire." We're told that Jesus took the bread and the fish and gave it to them. How amazing to be served breakfast by the living, risen Jesus. What a privilege, what a joy. To be served breakfast by Jesus, who you saw die on the cross, and now risen and alive. Even after the resurrection, Jesus was still modelling servanthood to his disciples. There was no parading of divine power. For the disciples, the journey of faith had truly begun. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Following breakfast, Jesus has that conversation with Peter, the conversation Peter had been dreading. It was the conversation Peter needed more than anything else. Not, "Why did you betray me, you guilty Peter?" But, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus is doing it again, doing the unexpected, asking Peter to state his love for him three times, as many times as he spoke his betrayal. Each time Jesus instructed Peter to look after the flock of those who belong to the kingdom of heaven, to look after those people that he is going to fish from the world. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." What a remarkable resurrection appearance of Jesus this is. I just love the final instruction to Peter. "Follow me. Follow me. Don't wait for me to appear and leave again. Follow me. Don't worry about anything or anybody else. You have said that you love me. So put your love into action and follow me." An exhortation for us all. For like Peter, we have all at some time denied Jesus, even in the poorness of our discipleship, perhaps, or the slowness of our following. And Jesus says to us, "Do you love me?" And we hopefully reply, "You know that we love you." And then he says to us, "Then tend my lambs, look after my sheep, feed my sheep, and follow me." Amen.